It's Robin with Tributaries. To quote Julie Crist, today's guest, clay is the most versatile, profoundly effective, cheap, mysterious, underrated cover-up health treatment available. Julie is a nationally board-certified acupuncturist living and working in northeastern Washington state, and she's a good country neighbor. She keeps a 50-pound bag of sodium bentonite clay handy in case of an unfortunate accident in her vicinity. But before you go digging up for lunch in your backyard, stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Julie, welcome. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you, Robin. It's my pleasure.
Let's start with your statement that clay is a homeostatic, and we'll get into the appropriate clays to use in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What are the implications of that?
I have used clay for practically everything, and it's worked every time I've used it. So it's sort of medicine for dummies. It doesn't seem to matter what your condition is. It manages to adjust to each individual case. And it's interesting for me because I'm a Chinese doctor that our whole tradition in Chinese medicine is to be very specific about, you know, getting your herbs prescribed correctly for this person's particular condition. But clay seems to just manage to take care of everything, whether you have an excess or a deficient condition or, you know, anything. So I don't really hesitate to give it to any of my patients for anything. And no one has ever been damaged by any of the clay that I've ever prescribed.
Right. It's a great point that you just brought up about excess and lack. I have a good friend who's an Ayurvedic physician. And when she went to India as a Western medical physician to do some training, that was her observation, that everyone there was in the hospital due to lack, and everyone just about in England was in the hospital due to excess.
Exactly.
And that's a difficult thing to actually measure and prescribe for, even with our wonderful ways of doing that and managing that in today's world. So it's wonderful that we have things like clay that can work regardless and without that sort of prescription.
Oh, absolutely. And the curious thing about Westerners is that most average Americans have both deficient and excess problems because of our diets. A lot of people actually may be overweight, so they have excess toxins and weight, but they're malnourished because the food they're eating is so denatured. So you can use clay to, on one hand, absorb the toxins, and on the other hand, to release the nutrients from the clay itself. So that's probably a really good example of the homeostasis of clay.
Now, having said that about clay, I would venture that there are other alternatives and therapies and supplements that do work from this same standpoint. But also, I'd like to mention that another individual healing component of clay is its aliveness and the type of clay that's used. So I think we'll venture into that piece of it all now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I use what's called pascalite clay, which is a calcium bentonite clay. And there's a fellow who was a chemical engineer, and I'm trying to find his name. It's Harvey Lyle, who specializes in biodynamics, and he biodynamically tested the pascalite for what he calls biodynamic energy, but what I think probably we call in Chinese medicine qi, and he found that it radiated 100 feet. Just radiates energy sitting in a jar in your kitchen 100 feet. And then he tested it near electronics that emit EMFs, and he found that it was negating the EMFs. And then he tested it near a 12,000-volt transmission line that ran past his house, and he found that it canceled that out, too. I don't know how you could prove any of that, and I haven't talked to him myself, but I think that's a really interesting idea because that's a huge concern for people right now.
Well, that certainly falls under one of the mysteries of clay, but it can be explained, I believe, through the negative and positive ions.
I think it can to a degree, but there seem to be a lot of different levels of activity with clay. And if you have, particularly with more alive clays, there are some that really are not nearly as active. But with an alive clay like the Pascalite, you have obviously the gross sort of mineral content of the clay. Then you have the actual physical properties of the clay. And then you also have sort of this energy that, generally speaking, our technology is too primitive to measure, which is one reason Chinese medicine has such a hard time getting recognized in this country, because Western technology is just too primitive to actually measure qi. And qi seems to be a huge component of Pascalite, more than a lot of other clays that I've checked into. So when you take a live clay like Pascalite, you're getting the advantage, the benefit of all those factors. But what seems to be different about the Pascalite is the huge amount of just flat out life energy that this stuff radiates.
Very good. And to what do you deem the important factors that create the aliveness in this clay?
I can guess. I don't have any proof, but the Earth has acupuncture points and meridians just like our bodies do. I suspect that the Pascalite deposit is probably located over a highly active, what we call a ley line or an acupuncture meridian on the Earth, maybe directly over a major point on the Earth. I'm not sure. Certainly the Native Americans recognized it because they came from miles around for annual spa at the Pascalite mine, where the medicine men would collect it. I think it was the Sioux and, let's see, who else were using this? The Shoshones and the Sioux definitely were documented there, collecting the Pascalite to take with them for the rest of the year for their medical purposes. And they also used it for money. So that mine or that particular deposit was very, very valuable, even to people who didn't have any technology at all.
Right. Can you describe a little bit about the negative ion properties and how that affects toxins in the body?
Clay, whether you're talking about calcium bentonite, which is what Pascalite is, or sodium bentonite, which is what most people, most of the clay that's used in the world is sodium bentonite, and it's used pretty extensively for industrial purposes. But clay is made of minute particles. Most particles of clay are less than 2 microns. A human hair is at least 40 microns, and smoke can be up to 1 micron. So montmorillonite clay, which is what calcium bentonite is almost like smoke. In fact, if you dump it out, it will poof out. It's very, very light, fluffy. It's easy to inhale. You have to be careful of that when you work with it. And then each particle is shaped like a credit card. It's flat and it has sides. So, and each particle is negatively charged. So if you take a gram of calcium bentonite clay, which is less than a quarter of a teaspoon, and you laid all these particles edge to edge, you would have an area about the size of 10 or 12 football fields, which is a huge surface area of negatively charged particles that are small enough to actually penetrate through the wall of your colon and through your blood system clean out all the positively charged pathogens in your body. And most bacteria and viruses are positively charged. So that's one of the ways that the negative charge on the clay works. And then the other way that it works to actually eliminate pathogens is that the particles are so small that they're a lot smaller than a bacteria or a virus. And they actually just physically go in there, and either they'll cut it up, the particles will cut up the pathogen, or they'll surround it so that it's pretty much stuck in this clay matrix, and it kills it.
What do you have to say to people that might feel like they would be afraid the clay would just start clogging up their colon or their system?
The calcium bentonite won't do that because it's not hydrophilic. I actually use two types of clay. I use the calcium bentonite internally, and I take that myself. I take about a teaspoon of that and 4 or 8 ounces of water. And when you mix it up with the water, it mixes very, very easily. If you try to do that with sodium bentonite, which is the more popular industrial clay, it clumps up, and that's largely because of the sodium, and it will start to absorb water, and it swells, and it can swell 8, 10, 20 times its own dry weight. And that stuff will clog you up. But I have also used it to stop raging diarrhea in about 10 minutes. So it does have a limited therapeutic use. But the calcium bentonite doesn't swell at all. And so what I do with my patients is I have them taking the calcium bentonite. And a lot of times if you already are a person with what we call lazy intestines, maybe you run a little constipated or things just don't move through quickly enough, then I have my patients do what's called abdominal shiatsu, which is a self-massage treatment. And I really firmly believe that if you're doing those two things, that you will rarely ever have to go to the doctor again. But you have to do it, and you have to do it regularly. Because as you're massaging, you actually are moving the toxins and the circulation and the lymph through the elimination system, and the clay is soaking the stuff up. So you're pushing it all right out.
So do you have other observations that you've made just due to the fact that the sodium bentonite clay is one thing and then the calcium bentonite clay is another thing? When you work with salts, mm-hmm. Do you have any correlations you've drawn, or is this just two separate things and issues?
I blend my own clay mixture for external use, and that has some of the pascalite, and it has some other different types of clays, some of which are sodium bentonite clays, because they all have a really specific function. And the interesting thing is that each clay deposit, is individual, and it has its own fingerprint in a way. They're all very, very different. The sodium bentonite that I do use is absolutely the highest quality that I can get. And the thing with the sodium bentonite that you can use to your advantage, but that you have to be careful of, is that it is very, very drawing. I always tell people, watch this stuff, because it can suck a 2x4 through a brick wall. It's very effective at pulling infection and foreign objects out of your body. In fact, I've had it pull abscesses out of the side of people's faces before who've packed it on the outside of their jaw. So you can almost use it in sort of a surgical way. It's pretty interesting stuff. I always add some of the pascalite because I don't think that the sodium bentonite is nearly as alive as the pascalite. It's not as healing. It's, you know, it's got a different function. And then the pascalite, you can use both ways. It's definitely not as drying, and it's not as drawing, but it's a lot more, I think, a stronger healing material than the cheaper clays.
Right. Let's speak a little bit about the trace mineral content of clays, and obviously each different calcium bentonite clay, depending where it's from, et cetera, will have slightly different mineral values, et cetera. But in using this, can you use this as a mineral supplement, would you recommend? Or does the drawing power perhaps, do you think it draws minerals out of the body, so you'd need to supplement?
I use it as a mineral supplement. And before I ever used it with any patients, I used it on myself for about 3 months. I'm in better health than most people I know, and it has to be a pretty remarkable result for me to notice anything when I take a supplement or...
I'm the same, yes.
Yeah. Well, I noticed after about a month on this stuff that my teeth started to get smoother. I felt like they were not getting dirty as easily. The texture felt smoother. And then, gosh, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later, I checked in the mirror, and my teeth were whiter. And so I figured, well, according to research that I've seen in 1964, NASA started doing some research on using calcium bentonite for calcium supplementation for the astronauts, because when they're in outer space, they have an osteoporosis problem because their bones aren't stressed because they don't have gravity. So NASA apparently settled on, from what I understand, using calcium bentonite to supplement the astronauts' diet, because none of the supplements that they were having manufactured or designed were working nearly as well. So after this happened with my teeth, I figured apparently, you know, this is accurate. And I actually am absorbing the minerals from this stuff, which was my big question too. You know, does it draw them? If it draws, or does it put them in? And I think that it has, I think once again, you're dealing with the homeostasis. I think if you have a calcium malabsorption problem, that it will probably balance that out rather than just putting excess calcium in that you don't need. So if you have bone spurs, for example, that's a calcium malabsorption problem. I think the clay can fix that.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, the calcium carbonate, I think, is a huge problem for people using supplements, because I think a lot of that does just get deposited rather than absorbed. And so people taking a lot of the calcium carbonate might want to think twice about that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I see them all the time in my office. They've got kidney stones. They've got bone spurs. I think, to tell you the truth, what makes the difference between a calcium supplement and calcium bentonite is the silica. I've studied silica because I think it's an interesting mineral, and from what I understand, you need more silica in your body than you need calcium. And for most people, that ratio is definitely reversed. If you think of our diets, most Americans are just drowning in calcium, cheese and milk and all this stuff, ice cream, but have almost no silica, no sources of silica. And there are not, it doesn't seem to be a lot of dietary sources of silica. Horsetail herb is probably the most well-known, and I collect that myself and use it for tea. But, of course, the calcium bentonite is just loaded with silica. And I think that's probably why it makes it such a really useful calcium supplement.
Yes, yes. Farmers use it for livestock. And can you share some of that information about, I mean, the same thing happens, obviously, to the livestock as it does for you or I?
Oh, definitely. I know that sheep ranchers have used it to improve their wool production by about 30%. I know that people who keep chickens will use it, and, of course, the shells become a lot stronger on the eggs. The mineral content of the eggs is a lot better, and the chickens tend to, they tend to attack each other a lot if they have a malnutrition problem, and the clay seems to eliminate a lot of that as well. And I do know that a lot of people have witnessed wild animals finding clay deposits and using them for their own healing. So, I think that maybe where humans first got the idea to use it is just watching the wildlife.
And it's interesting, they just instinctively, I know through various people I've interviewed, whether they've been using a seawater technology, which has just the right balance of minerals, and they'll have two different piles of corn for pigs. One has been grown using that technology from the seawater, and the other one hasn't, and the pigs wouldn't go near the other until they finished literally every kernel of that first pile of corn that was grown with the very balanced natural mineral system to it.
Oh, I believe it. I've had people tell me, I get all kinds of different people in my office, I have ranchers and fishermen and loggers and, you know, people that you wouldn't think are necessarily the most energetically attuned folks. And I'm always surprised when I send some of these people home with a bag of clay and tell them to take it. Oftentimes they'll come back and they'll say, you know, I just had this feeling of well-being when I took that stuff. I couldn't tell you why. And I don't, you know, I don't stand around and talk with these guys about that stuff because I just figure they're not going to believe me anyway. But they'll take it and they'll come back and say, I could just feel, you know, I could almost feel it go down through my body. And it just felt good, almost like I was swallowing sunshine or, you know, those, those sorts of comments. It just is fascinating to me.
Yes, I know. And I always judge that, too, from my first taste of some kind of new supplement or herb or something I'm taking.
Yep.
I get that intuitive sense in the body that just loves it and really welcomes it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And clay is something you can do long term. I don't believe in doing anything every single day. I think your body needs a break now and then. But it is something that it's recommended that you do it for a couple months at a time and maybe take a couple of weeks off. Because it's a cumulative, substance. So, and I can definitely say I noticed that's how it worked for me when I noticed my teeth changing. So once I decided to knock off the clay for a while just to see what would happen, I did notice they started to lose the whiteness, and so I'm assuming, you know, my bones probably lost that calcium as well. So I take it now. Fairly regularly. I definitely take it a lot more in the winter when it's the plague season, because I have a lot of sniffling, oozing people coming to my office.
And, sounds lovely.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, one of the most common ways I introduce people to it is to have them use it for a sinus rinse. And I try to tell people, just mix a little bit, maybe an eighth of a teaspoon in your neti pot. I'm not kidding, because it will hurt. And more often than not, they will come back, and they didn't believe me, so they put, you know, a teaspoon or a half a teaspoon or whatever in there. And they said, you know, it brought me to my knees. And I said, yeah, it pretty much feels like you've snorted battery acid. And what's interesting is that it only hurts if you have a sinus infection. If you don't have a sinus infection, it doesn't feel like a thing. So it's also diagnostic for that. But I've had people who've been using neti pots with salt water for years and years, and they still have sinus infections, and so I'll send them home with this stuff, and sure as heck, it hurts like crazy, but it does take care of the infection.
Right. Well, I love the story. You spoke about taking it more often or more regularly in the winter. And I love the story you've written about the Otomac Indians in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
It's, you know, that's a mystery. And that, I think, has to do with the chi of the clay. There's a tribe of Indians that lives on the river and lives on all the resources of the river, and in the dry season when the river levels drop off too far for them to survive sufficiently on those resources, then they switch over to clay and they eat clay. And they stay perfectly healthy through that season. And I don't know if anyone has ever figured out why. Probably nobody will ever try because there's no money in it. But they're not the only Indians that have used clay routinely. I don't know. Dr. Weston Price is one of my heroes.
Yes.
Traveled the entire planet, found more often than not native populations using clay wherever he went. And oftentimes they would use it, particularly in South America, they use it if they're eating something questionable. And I've done it myself. In fact, I have people that will tell me they're taking a trip to India or whatever, and I'll just say, don't go without this stuff. Eat it every time you eat something you don't know where it came from. And it works. They come back, and they're, you know, no problem. Didn't get sick. If I started to, I took some, and that was the end of it. So you can use it preventively. You can use it nutritionally. Obviously, you know, the Venezuelan Indians are using it survival, period. So, yeah, I love that story because it's a mystery, really. Nobody knows how they figured it out, why they're doing it, and how it works. But I think it is a testimony to the chi and the nutritional value of the clay, that they can just survive on it.
Yes. Another wonderful use and something they're doing research now, I think it was you that mentioned to me about the French and their work with the MRSA.
Yes, absolutely. MRSA is a plague that has hit most of, particularly the Western-style hospitals around the world. It seems to be resistant to pretty much all the antibiotics they have. It will easily kill someone who's in a debilitated state. It'll eat your flesh. It's nasty stuff. And the French have been using, I think it's their French green clay, to treat MRSA, and it actually seems to cure it. And this is probably something of a dilemma for them because they're westernized to a degree and, you know, have the pharmaceutical companies breathing down their necks too. So I saw a couple of articles about it several months ago, but I haven't seen any more. Nothing else has been pursued on that subject, which is ridiculous because the people that I see, and I have a lot of medical professionals that come to me for treatment, are terrified of MRSA. They've seen people die horrible deaths from it, and they are convinced that nothing can stop it once you get it. And so I try to convince them. I'm always trying to spread the word about that because I think MRSA is probably just the beginning. I think we're in for lots of more interesting mutant bacteria from hell. And I think clay is probably going to have to be the answer because they can't develop a resistance to clay. It has a physical action on the actual microbe. And it's like, you know, a piece of wood can't resist an axe, basically. It's interesting stuff because it's not like herbs or vitamins or drugs. It doesn't have an expiration date. It really likes to be stored out in the sun. It seems to charge up when it's exposed to the sun. So I keep mine in a glass jar on my windowsill.
I'm so glad that I was able to find Julie Crist and have her share her experiences using clay for many, many uses of its healing properties. Julie can be reached at AccuPlanet, which is ACUPLA.NET. Her phone, 509-684-8816. For any guest information, to listen to archives and share resources, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. If you like, you can go to that website, sign up, and you'll be alerted every time we post the new show. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.